This is Darren Collins from Stellar Attraction, Internet Progressive Rock Radio. Very privileged today to have on the telephone a man who needs no introduction whatsoever, Mr. John Anderson.
Hello there.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking the time to speak to me today. Wonderful to have you on the phone. Well, first of all, I'd like to speak to you, obviously, regarding The Living Tree, the album with yourself and Mr. Wakeman.
Mr. Wakeman, I love that.
I interviewed Rick last year, and I very formally, just off the cuff, sort of said, "Hi, Mr. Wakeman." And he said, no, Rick, please, come on, do come along.
Yeah.
anyway, John, tell me all about it, The Living Tree. It's a wonderful CD.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful cover, Mark Wilkinson. It's a very striking cover.
I spoke to Mark about, you know, I said, find a really beautiful tree and sort of electrify it, because, you know, what we humans see isn't really everything. You know, trees are very powerful energies, and they have a lot of, obviously they help us with oxygen, but they also have a lot of connections with the trees around them, the bushes, the animal life, the creepers and the crawlers around. So the tree is a very powerful energy. And I said, make it musical as well. So he did a great cover.
Yeah, I notice on the inside of the CD, it's almost like amongst the birds that seem to be flying away from it, there's almost like musical notes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It is. It's very, very beautiful.
Very special. And the album, you know, we started talking about doing the album about July, because we knew we were going to tour around October, November in the UK. Mm-hmm. So Rick started sending some music to me, and I'd sing melodies and write lyrics to the music. And I think after a month or so, we realized we had an album's worth of new songs, which we actually performed on the tour. We, you know, on the performance of the tour, we'd do Yes songs and some of the new songs from the album. So it was a treat for me and Rick. It's our first album together.
Indeed, yeah.
And it was also a treat for the audience. They just loved the songs, the new songs.
Absolutely. No. It seems to, from what I read on the internet at least, it's extremely positive, the sort of feedback from the audience. Tell me a little bit about the recording process, because I obviously Rick's in the UK, yourself
right.
In the States now.
Right.
Were you sort of, he composed the music and sent it to you, and you...
Yeah, he just sent an MP3, and then I was actually on tour with my wife Jane. We travel around in a car with a couple of guitars. I do solo shows around America. So I had my studio, Logic Studio, on my laptop, and I would sing in hotel rooms and learn the songs and get the lyrics right. And it was just a joy to do it. And the fascinating thing is that the world is now a studio.
Yes, indeed. I was going to ask you about that, John, actually. That's led very nicely into the next line of questioning, which is regarding the... Obviously, you know, you've posted a few tracks on your Facebook page. You've used the internet. Tell me a bit about how you've connected with other musicians using the sort of digital world and the digital medium and things.
Yeah. Well, it happened about 5 years ago. I was asking, actually, when I was working and in touch with Chris and Steve and Alan in the band, and asking them to connect and send ideas and we could write on the internet, and they're just not really into that world. And so I just put an advert on my website saying musicians wanted, and I got hundreds of replies, and I picked out a couple of dozen really interesting people, and they'd send me 1 minute of their music. So I contacted these people and started writing with them, and that's how, over the last 4 years, I've just written quite an incredible amount of songs, music, a couple of musicals, an opera. I'm just finishing a violin concerto and a guitar concerto, and that's over a period of 4 years, and it realized to me that there is so much great music to be created, and there are so many great musicians out there hoping to get a chance to release their music, you know. And
well, you certainly seem to have embraced the internet. I mean, there was a few songs.
Yeah.
Which you put around September, I think, Love and Understanding, Understanding Truth,
yes.
And New World.
Yeah.
I mean, you just sort of, are they a work in progress, or is that sort of, you know?
Yeah. It's just a wonderful time to be in a creative zone. And eventually there's an album coming out next spring.
Mm-hmm.
Called Survival and Other Stories. I actually sold it on the UK tour.
I heard all about it. I haven't got a copy, but I did hear that it was for sale, along with The Living Tree, of course.
Well, I'll probably put it out. Maybe there's a company called TuneCore who put out albums just strictly on the internet, because there's no record companies at the moment, and the next step is to work what you have. You know, you always, mm-hmm. like mother of invention, it's just to do it. And the internet is available, and millions of people are out there listening to all kinds of music from all kinds of artists who, without the internet, would never get a chance to send the music out there.
Yeah,
so it's
sure,
a great
sure.
experience.
That's wonderful. So, Survival and Other Stories, that we can expect to see that available in the spring, you say, of next year?
Yeah, probably. I think we're going to try and get it out for the end of February.
Just, again, not having heard the album myself, John, the title, and my immediate thoughts were obviously something which we all, I say we, the fans and your audience are aware of, if the health problems that you experience of late. I mean,
yeah.
one question is, how are you physically? I mean, I know you've been quite open about that online. I mean, you've spoken about how it's kind of reinvigorated you, I suppose, creatively.
It's as though you have to go through a very difficult time in your life to realize how fortunate you are and how special life is and how thankful I am about being able. I sing better now than I've ever done. I just sing from a different place, I suppose. I sing from a more convinced that I can do many more things over the next 30 years and just continue to grow, because like most people out there, you know, you try very hard to develop your spiritual connection to the divine, and when you go through near-death experiences, like I did, it just it changes your perception of life. And I feel very grateful and thankful for Jane, my wife, who saved my life a couple of times. And you just get on with life and say, okay, well, what's the next experience? You know, expect the unexpected, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it's just the title that struck me, Survival and Other Stories, like all of your fans. Just the title itself was very poignant, and you just think, crikey, you know, I mean, we all know what you've tragically been through, and thank God that you've sort of come out of it at the other side, as you say, fitter and healthier and so on. And I've seen online, being outside the US, I've only actually seen it on YouTube, your performances with the Contemporary Youth Orchestra of Cleveland. Some of the wonderful performances, if I do say so myself, I mean, wholeheartedly, your voice is sounding absolutely on top form. It really is. Tell me about that experience with the youth orchestra. Because obviously these are very young guys. I mean, and there were some interviews that I saw online with the members of the orchestra, and they're really into the music, it seems.
Oh, yeah. You know, I did an album probably 1991, I think. I did an album with the London Chamber Orchestra.
That's right. Symphonic Music of Yes, by any chance?
No. It was called Change We Must.
Ah, of course.
Yeah, the symphonic album, I started that project, but then it was taken away from me because of, I don't know, politics about something, and I just let go of it and thought, okay, I will make an album as I would see working with an orchestra. And I continue to dream that I would actually perform that album, or some of it at least, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, luckily, 4 years ago, the lady who runs the Contemporary Youth Orchestra invited me to sing with them. So we did the songs from classic Yes songs, and You and I, and State of Independence, and Change We Must, and a couple of new songs. And then earlier this year, she asked me again, and it was a perfect time to maybe film it. So we got in touch with HDNet, a company, and they came and filmed it. And like you know, you see it, and the kids, of course, these teenagers just love music on every level. They're not sort of bigoted about whether it's, you know, new music or old music. They love playing Stravinsky, they love playing Mozart, but they love playing Yes music, you know.
They really, I mean, in all sincerity, they just seem to be so engaged with the music that they were performing, you know. They're really into it, and yourself as well. I mean, speaking about film and recording, John, going back to The Living Tree briefly, there's a rumour that there's possibly a DVD coming out of your one of your performances with Rick.
We recorded as a CD, because watching two guys on stage for 2 hours is okay, but it doesn't seem like great TV to me. Me and Rick just laughed at the idea. Maybe what we need to do is do a DVD with visual art and something surrounding us, because, you know, we're just two old geezers having fun.
It's great, I mean, to see the both of you on stage like that, because Rick, I'm sure you know, John, has got a bit of a reputation as a, I wouldn't go as far as say a stand-up comedian, but...
He's a funny guy.
He's a very, very humorous guy, you know.
He's naturally very funny.
And the two of you together, the banter between you is really, really amusing.
It was like Morecambe and Wise, actually.
That's
so
great.
We have fun, but again, you know, we did the songs, and we performed the songs with a deep love of music and the love of the audience. We want to entertain them on many levels, make them laugh, but make them think. You know, there's a song on the album called
2411, isn't it?
There you go. I forgot. Well, it's about Afghanistan, you know, and how soldiers, you know, they come away from that war with nothing but disappointment and deep psychological problems. And it's a war that really we don't need in this world of ours. And everybody's starting to realize, especially in America, there's a lot of discussion at the moment about it being a total mess. It's never going to get better. How do we stop it and get out? And that's always been the problem, you know, it's about war, and that's one of the songs that we sang. So you can have a joke here and there, but then you sing something very positive about the future. So the recordings are very good, and we'll probably get that out in the spring.
Well, that's really good news. One other thing I'd like to ask you, John, if I may, is the talk about Zamran, the son of Elias. And other related projects.
So Zamran is a very positive new way of people being able to listen to music. And I'm trying to devise sort of new method of people like a going on a journey, and they can pick a musical journey each time they listen to it. So I haven't quite technically figured out how to do it, but it's definitely a computer-based project, and it's got a lot of visual art being created as we speak by three people, one in Poland and a couple of guys in America. So I'm working on the project, but it's one of those projects that... it takes its own time. It might be another few months before I can actually get it out there into the world. But it's something that I am deeply involved in, you know.
Wow, it sounds fascinating. It really does. I mean...
To me it was always like creating some music, but then a sort of library of information that I've gleaned over the years.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds amazing. It really does. Okay, so are you? Do you have any more forthcoming plans with Rick at all, either recording or touring?
Yeah, we're talking. We're actually talking about doing some shows in Canada and the East Coast in October next year,
uh-huh.
and maybe earlier in the year. Maybe I'm going to go see Trevor Rabin and maybe working together with Trevor. We're not quite sure because Trevor's making a movie with Spielberg at the moment, so he's working with the big boys now. So it's woo. It's just a question of finding the right time, the right place, and the right momentum. You know,
what sort of, if I may ask, what sort of work did you have in mind with Mr. Trevor Rabin? Is it soundtrack work or something else?
Well, it could be anything. You know, we're going to write some songs, and I'm going to go and see him working on this new movie with Spielberg. In the beginning of January. And, you know, we've talked about doing some shows together, and like anything, you can talk and talk, and then all of a sudden it happens. You just got to be patient, and when the time comes, it will. I think me and Trevor sort of bonded about 7 or 8 years ago. I went to see him. I was so mesmerized by how good his movie scoring was, and I just wanted to see him working, and I went to see him, so we became friends again, and it was a really good time.
Well, he's been doing that for a number of years now. That seems to be his little niche, I suppose, in musically. I mean, he's done a number of film scores for some very big movies.
Oh, he's done 39.
39? I didn't realize that it was that many. Good God, that's amazing.
He's on his 40th score, so he knows how to do it now.
Yeah, I think so. But if he's working with now the latest movie with Spielberg, like you say, he's obviously up there with the big boys. But from a fan's point of view, obviously that's pretty exciting stuff to hear that you've.
The last album we did together was Talk, and it's one of the great Yes albums. I really, me and Trevor worked very closely on that album, and the record company went bankrupt, and it was never managed very well.
It didn't get the sort of commercial, perhaps, or the exposure that it could have done. Wasn't that recorded digitally as well? And obviously, this is going back few years now, but that was one the very early digital sort of recorded albums, back in the day.
Yeah, it was amazing.
But there's some wonderful, wonderful tracks on there. Endless Dream and this. And
so, you know, we talked about we'll go on tour, we'll do that song, we'll do, so many good things. Working with Trevor in the 80s was a very sort of interesting time, very different. And there's a lot of people who connected to Yes through those albums, you know. Millions of people got into touch with Yes through 90125, you know, never heard of Yes, and then the Honor of a Lonely Heart, and all of a sudden the door opened that they could enjoy the 70s of Yes, you know. So
yeah, that's right. They sort of discovered the back catalog through the releases at the time.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic stuff. Well,
we'll never know.
You never know.
I can't promise anything, but I just know that we're talking and we're enjoying the idea of possibly working together. We'll see what happens.
Like you say, I suppose it's a mixture of everybody being in the right place
and
everybody being together at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, John, listen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. It really has.
Yeah.
Wonderful to hear that you're feeling physically in a good place, and also creatively by the sounds of things as well.
Yeah, very much. Thank you so much.